Merry Christmas. Is everybody ready for Christmas? How many of you just love Christmas? How many of you are excited? You just can't wait? Every kid's hand ought to be up right now if they're not snoozing. They're asleep. We put them to sleep. Good job, Kendall. You put them to sleep. 5 minutes of a communion meditation and you got them out cold. I am excited. I love Christmas. Christmas will make you do some strange things, won't it? It'll make you do some things that you wouldn't normally do throughout the regular part of the year, the other 11 months or so. For instance, it'll cause some people to drive around with reindeer antlers and red noses on their cars. How many of you do that? Good, good, that's good. And no hands in here at all. It'll make you wear some crazy socks. This is the only time of year I get to do this, and I'm pretty happy with my $2 Christmas socks. It'll make you take family photos of your family, of course, at other times when you wouldn't. And so what I'd like to do right now is I would like to take a family photo, since you all are my church family. Can we do that? Everybody good with that? So I'm just going to put this up here, and everybody, I better go this way. Okay, everybody say Merry Christmas on the count of three. One, two, three. Merry Christmas. All right, got my family photo here for the year. I am excited about going home in just a little bit and hanging out and eating. Eating is good. And of course, Kendall has already alluded to the giving of gifts and just what a special time that is. But I fear that too many times we get caught up in all of that and we don't take the necessary, steps to make sure that we don't lose what Jesus did for us. I think sometimes we have this tendency to say that God gave His Son, and He did. But I think sometimes we push to the back the fact that Jesus chose to come too. It wasn't just the fact that God said, Jesus, I want you to go. Now go. You don't have any choice in the matter. Jesus chose to leave the glory and the splendor of heaven, to wrap Himself in human flesh, to come down here and subject Himself to all of the things that we are subjected to, our temptations, the sins, our disappointments, the loneliness, all of these different things. He felt them. And for 2,000 years, ever since Jesus came onto the scene, I think people have maybe tried to think back to what that first night might have been like, what that first Christmas might have been like. And preachers and teachers throughout that time have looked at what Lauren has already read for you tonight, actually what Lauren has recited for you tonight, and I'm a little disappointed in her because I asked her to read it, and she gets up here and she recites it, and she makes the rest of us look bad because I can't even remember where I parked my car at Walmart. And she gets up here and recites Luke chapter 2. Good job. That was great. And Spencer, great job on that. Man, we're blessed. I'm blessed to have the staff that I get to work. Kendall, you did all right. But tonight, here's what I want to do is I want to look at Sunday morning we looked at the different responses that people had to the Christmas story, right? We looked at how the Magi responded. We looked at how the religious leaders responded, and we looked at how King Herod responded. And so tonight, what I want to do is I want to look at how those shepherds responded, because I think what happens in our effort over the last couple thousand years to try to portray this story and try to put ourselves in that place, I think that it doesn't really matter what era you lived in. I think we all kind of find a little bit of the shepherd in each of us as this story unfolds. And so here are the three things that I think what Lauren recited for us a moment ago tell us about the Christmas story and how each of us fit into that, the first thing is this, that we're told we fear not. Because Jesus has come, because hope has come into the world, we should not be afraid. You ever notice as you're reading through the Bible, every time an angel appears to someone in the Bible, what's the first thing they say? Fear not, be not afraid, or something like that. Because, you know why? Wouldn't you be just a little bit freaked out if an angel appeared to you? I mean, seriously. And this is happening it happens to Mary, it happens to Joseph, it happens to the shepherds, and we're afraid. And then the angel says, you know, you don't have to be afraid. Fear not. You ever wonder where that fear comes from? Because the Bible says fear is not from God. Fear came into the world when Adam and Eve sinned, and they allowed evil to enter into this world, and they refused momentarily to let God have authority over their life, and so they eat the fruit. And what happens when they eat the fruit? They become afraid, and they cover themselves up because they realize they're naked, and they are ashamed, and they hide from God out of fear. And then they blame one another. You know, it's like, oh God, yeah, I know I ate the apple. It's not my fault. She made me do it. It's the woman's fault. And that hasn't changed for 2,000 years, right, ladies? We still do the same thing. And then the two of them together, they blame the serpent when they get busted for doing what God asked them not to do. We were never created to be afraid of God. Fear is not of God. We were created to walk with Him as a son, as a daughter of the Most High. We were made to have fellowship with Him, and yet sin came into the world and it broke that. And those who are outside of Christ, no wonder they have this tendency to cower before what God is asking them to do. Christmas means that we don't have to be afraid anymore of anything. And I know there's a lot of phobias out there. There's a lot of you afraid of spiders and afraid of the dark and afraid of heights and all these different things like that. But we don't have to be afraid of anything. We don't have to be afraid of sin. We don't have to be afraid of what someone might do to us. Because we have a Heavenly Father who has promised that He will be there with us and for us every step of the way. No matter what we might be going through, no matter where we might be going, He says, even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm going to be there with you. That's pretty amazing. Jesus goes even further and says, not only are you considered a child of the Most High God, but I consider you my friend and I walk along with you. John 15:15, I haven't come to gather servants. I've come to call you my friend. That's powerful. To understand that this baby that willingly left heaven to come down here to earth to die for your sins calls himself your friend. I think one of the reasons that God became flesh, because God became a baby was because He wanted to help us get over our fear of Him. I mean, you think about it for just a moment. Anybody afraid of a baby? What happens when we see a baby, right? We get in their face, and I'm looking over at little Jack. Now, you know, you just squeeze the cheeks and go, oh, you know, you talk to little baby, talk to me. That's what we do, right? Because we're not afraid of babies, and God chose. I'm so glad you brought him tonight, too. That made a great illustration. God chose to make himself a baby. To say, listen, you don't have to be afraid of me. I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to leave heaven. And I'm going to come down here and I'm going to ultimately pay the price for the sin so that you don't have to. And the angels are saying to the shepherds and they're saying to us, fear not. You don't have to be afraid because a Savior has been born for you. And peace is available to everyone who decides to put their hope and their faith and their trust in Him. You remember what Jesus' last words were to us? I will be with you always. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. I will never leave you or abandon you. In Christ, there is no condemnation for those who have placed their trust in me. Anyone who believes in Him and is baptized will be saved and will never be put to shame. Let me ask you a question. What are you afraid of this evening? Deep inside, do you have any fears? I'd love for you this evening to decide, I'm going to give those fears to the Lord. I'm tired of carrying those fears around. I'm going to give them to Him. No? Would you bring those fears into the presence of Jesus? Because I believe that when those fears come into the presence of Jesus, they become afraid. They tremble. They fade away. And peace is what awaits a follower of Jesus Christ. I think one of the biggest fears that people have, one of the biggest fears they have of God is not having control of their own lives anymore. They're afraid that, oh, if I give my life to God, then He's going to ask me to move to Africa and be a missionary, and I'm going to have to do this, and I'm going to have to do that, and I won't have control. I can't do the fun things that I used to do anymore because God's just up there. He's like this mean old man. He just wants to take away all of our fun. That's not who God is at all. But that's the picture that a lot of people have of God. And so they are afraid to surrender their lives to Him. Put yourself in the Christmas story tonight and hear the angels say to you, do not be afraid. God has your best interest in mind always. And if you're sitting out there and you're thinking, well, can I really trust Him in that? Can I trust Him? Can I trust Him with such a precious gift as my own will and my own life? Who did He trust to be the first hearers of the good news? Who was that? It was shepherds, right? Shepherds were this class of people that were not thought of very highly. They were just regular guys. They were hardworking. They were blue-collar kind of people. They were making ends meet by just protecting a bunch of sheep. That's how they made their living. And one day, the Bible says that when Jesus grew up, He was called the Good Shepherd who lays down His life for His sheep. And we know that He actually did that very thing in order to provide for us a life that is free of fear. And so when we come to the point in our lives and we're afraid of losing control, and we're afraid that maybe God might not know what's best for us, and we're afraid to turn our lives over to Jesus Christ, understand that the Christmas story, it's a declaration of the end of fear. That God loves you. And He sent His Son to die for you. And no matter what you are facing right now that you're afraid of, God is bigger than that. And so just like He tells these shepherds, don't be afraid. He's telling you tonight, don't be afraid. We fear not. And then what happened next? So the shepherds, they didn't fear anymore. And then it says they told others. They went out and they told other people. Look at verse 17. After seeing Him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Let me ask you a question. How did you hear about the good news? No. How did you hear about Jesus? Who is it that told you about Jesus? My guess is someone told you. I'm going to go out on a limb and just say that none of you sitting in this room here tonight had an angel appear to you and tell you about Jesus. Raise your hand if that happened to you. Okay. Yeah, put your hand down. Whoever that was back there, put your hand down there. All right. Did not happen. Right? Someone told you about the good news of Jesus Christ. I think we'd all like to meet an angel. I mean, that'd be kind of cool, right? But it'd be a little terrifying. Right? So Here's the deal. Shepherds got the angel. We're probably not going to get that. Everybody else got the shepherds. You see what I'm saying? Shepherds heard it from the angel, and then the shepherds went all through town and they told everybody else. Right up to the point of us sitting here tonight. It was the shepherds who began speaking to others about what they had experienced. It was these regular human beings, not anybody special at all, just these everyday, hardworking, blue-collar types of guys, these regular human beings. They're the first ones to share the good news of Jesus Christ to other people. Guess what? As you put yourself in this story, you need to understand that you have people in your life that need to hear it from you because they're probably not going to get an angel. That is the greatest gift that you can give anyone is the good news of Jesus Christ. You have friends right now who might be contemplating whether they want to come to church or not. They might be contemplating if they want to investigate the claims of Jesus. What are you doing about that? Are you talking to them about that? No. Because they need to hear it from regular human beings. They're not going to hear it from an angel. They need to hear it from us. I believe that's what happened just this week, Kendall, with one of your ball players. That was pretty cool. We didn't stick around and talk about it much because neither one of us had much of a voice left that particular day, so we were done talking. But one of his ball players that he's been coaching, Kendall's been working on, and we got to talk with again yesterday, surrendered his life to Christ, and he's going to be baptized very soon. One of those people in his circles who the Lord's been working on. Who you were able to share the gospel with and we were able to meet with, who's now going to go to heaven because someone cared enough to share the good news. You never know in your network of friends, you never know how God is working on someone's heart. And you got to share the good news. You know, you have a bunch of people in your life who for some crazy reason are friends with you. I don't know what it is, you know. I get that, right? That didn't sound right, did it? I haven't been feeling well this week. Let me rephrase that. There are people in your life, right, that God has placed there for a reason. That sounds better, doesn't it? For a reason. How are you sharing the good news? You sharing like the shepherds did, or are you keeping it to yourself? I'm here today before you because my parents told me. And then God placed other people in my life along the way who encouraged me, who helped me stay the course, and now I'm here still serving the Lord today because of that. I probably wasn't going to get an angel. It took people. The number one people, or the number one reason people attend church is because they know someone. You know? They know someone. The number one reason people surrender their lives to Christ is because they know someone who already goes to church, or they know someone who has surrendered their life to Christ. Tell them. And the next thing we see the shepherds doing is praising God. Look at verse 20. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. So here's this moment. The angels appear to the shepherds. The shepherds were afraid, but then the angel calms them down and they hear the good news and they start to go tell everybody. But then you know what they did after they told everybody? They basically went back to work. But they went back to work as different people. They went back to work changed from the inside at the deepest level. They were changed to the point to where they were easily and naturally glorifying God in everything that they did, and they couldn't help but praise Him. They became genuine worshipers of God. The Bible tells us whatever you do can be worship. Whatever you do, do as unto the Lord. It doesn't have to be in a church pew like this. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have to come to church. You still need to come to church. But when you leave church and you're out in your job, or you're in school, or you're in your family time, everything that you do, if you do as unto Him, it is worship. I think basically what needs to happen is whatever you do as from within the heart that brings honor and glory to God, that's what brings Him glory. That's what that man, that's the gift that you can give Him. You want to feel good? If I can ride on the tailgate of what Kendall was talking about, you wanna feel good about giving something to God? Give Him your worship. Not just at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Every single day of your life. And that begins with an understanding of what God is like. You see, it's hard to worship a God that we view as this mean old man up in heaven that's just waiting to zap you. Or if we see God as this petty God with a bunch of rules and regulations, or we see God as this distant and irritated kind of God. That kind of worship doesn't come from the heart. What needs to happen is we need to get an accurate depiction of who God is. Who is God? Well, God became a baby 2,000 years ago. And we understand that He humbled Himself enough to come down here. He loved us enough to put limitations on Himself, to take away our fears. And all because He couldn't stand the thought of not spending eternity with us. That's why He did it. We're the reason. We're the reason He came. That's it. One day, before the foundation of the world began, God's like, I'm going to create a race of people. And because of His ability to see into the future, He knew that we'd blow it. And He already set a plan into motion where He was going to send His Son to die for us. We're the reason for the plan. We're the reason that God was willing to give up His one and only Son. And if you get nothing else tonight, understand that this everything that is here tonight, everything that is done, all of the worship, His Word, the fellowship, the gathering around the table, we're the reason for all that. God instituted all of that so that we could be forgiven, so that we could go to heaven, so that we could take as many people as possible with us when we go. I want you to listen as David sings this song for us.